welcome to Hype episode 17. Josh Marama and I are here this week to talk about all the big television, movies, and even book news happening in the fandom world. Hello, you two.
Hello.
Hey.
Happy Friday.
Saturday morning.
Yes. Thank you, Marama, for staying up till 3 a.m. local time.
Local Australian time coming at you.
If it makes you feel better, it's 8 a.m. in L.A. and nobody wakes up here till like 10. So I'm up.
I know you get up at like 4 in the morning.
It's true.
Andrew makes me look so bad. He's got articles up like before I wake up and I'm on the East Coast.
Well, it's a tragic lifestyle. You guys shouldn't adopt it. So let's start by talking about some movie news. It was actually a pretty big trailer week. We were treated to three big trailers. First of all, Maleficent, starring Angelina Jolie. This is a Disney's live-action villain movie, I guess you could call it, following... What was she in? Sleeping Beauty?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So she stars as Maleficent. Any first impressions? Are either of you big fans of this series to begin with?
No one's a Sleeping Beauty fan.
Yeah.
The one that no one cares about.
I mean, maybe if you're a big Disney fan. But I don't know, the trailer looked cool. I was just it reminded me a lot of Oz the Great and Powerful for some reason. Yeah. I'm not sure why yet though.
I think it's just the CGI. Like, as soon as you start seeing those crazy colors, you're like, oh, it's going to be another CGI fest.
Yeah. What other movies? They've been doing a lot of these live action. I mean, they got the Cinderella one in the works.
The wormhole, or the, not wormhole, the rabbit hole girl.
Oh, Alice in Wonderland?
Wonderland?
I thought it's kind of looked like that, like when I first was, you know, looking at it.
Oh, no, that's not fair, because... the movie, the TV show looks like they're all standing in front of a green screen.
Yeah, but I thought this was,
it looked cool, but I'm not a huge fan of the Sleeping Beauty story, and I'm curious how much they're going to change it, because it's not really that interesting. So, I feel like this is going to be very different.
People are really excited about it.
It seems like they're just focusing a lot on Angelina Jolie's character because they just know that she'll sell the movie. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. I wonder how much she's actually going to be. I mean, I'm sure she'll be in a lot of it, but you can't just only be the villain. I mean, there's no way you can do a movie with just the villain.
Yeah, but is the point of it that it's going to be like a twisted kind of story where they say, oh, she's the bad guy, but actually this is why, and she's really a good guy. And
exactly.
An origin story, quote unquote. Yeah.
Right. And you'll feel bad for her, and you're like, all this time I was supposed to hate her.
Yeah, exactly. Really, Sleeping Beauty's a jerk. She deserves it.
And in 5 years from now, we'll get the live-action Sleeping Beauty where we feel bad for Sleeping Beauty again and then hate Maleficent.
And that'll be it, because there are no other characters in this story.
Her costume looks great, though. It looked really neat.
Yeah.
I thought she looked great.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's awesome
to see her in a movie. Haven't seen her in a movie in a while. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but this is also so different for her. And I was a bit skeptical about it, but I thought she looked really great in the trailer.
And she must have liked the script because, I mean, rarely do you see her take on something like this. You know, she's been directing a lot lately and just this doesn't seem like her thing at all.
Right. Especially for a Disney movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Her daughter... One of her and Brad Pitt's daughters is in the movie as Maleficent's daughter, I think.
Wow.
There was a story about that a while ago. One of the top comments on this article I wanted to read from somebody named Fear, very fitting on a post about a villain movie. Maleficent was always my favorite Disney villain. I'm so excited about this film that I won't be able to wait. That was the top voted comment on the site, and everybody's just generally very excited about it. So,
yeah.
Maybe I should retract my statement. Maybe people really are into Sleeping Beauty. I did not know that.
You were wrong. I mean, everybody likes a villain story. You know, Breaking Bad's so big right now. This is kind of a good time for these villain stories to come back.
I think it's like, they're so similar.
we've been seeing so many of these remakes, and it's nice to see like a different perspective on one, you know?
Yeah. Well, and this reminds me, recently we found out that Disney is developing a Cruella de Vil live action movie with Glenn Close, the original Cruella de Vil in the live action movie in the 90s, producing. She's not starring yet.
She's not starring? Oh.
Well, not yet, anyway. Oh,
that would have been so great if she did, though.
Well, maybe they will. It's not too late yet.
Maybe when was that movie? When did that come out? Like 15 years ago or something?
Yeah, I mean, it was the 90s, right?
Oh, yeah. God. Was I born?
1996.
Okay.
Yeah. So you were born. Young, but you were born.
I was 5.
Another trailer to talk about, Divergent. Oh, my God, Divergent. The next Hunger Games. This was a pretty big trailer. I mean, we had the teaser trailer a few weeks ago, like maybe 2 months ago, and this is the first full-length trailer. It clocks in at about 2.5 minutes. It's got some cool scenes. It's got Triss breaking her aptitude test. She realizes that it's not real, which makes her divergent. And we also see Jeannie Matthews, played by Kate Winslet. And, Marimo, what do you think of this one?
I really like what's happening with the Divergent movie. I guess because I saw the footage back at Comic-Con. That was, like, the first substantial footage that they showed. Mm-hmm. And this looked pretty similar to what they showed there, some different scenes. But in tone and everything, it was, like, quite similar. And I'm really excited because, there's no surprise probably, I'm not a huge fan of the Divergent books. Like, I thought they were fine, but, I was just never really passionately into them. But I actually think the story could work really well as a film. Like, it could work really well visually because you get outside of, Triss's head in a way. So I'm really excited for this. And I thought the trailer looked really good. And Shailene Woodley is fantastic.
Yeah, she is. She's growing on me a lot.
Theo James also looks very nice, so that is fine as well.
Very nice.
Very nice.
That was a good point, actually, about getting outside of Triss's head. I hadn't thought about that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for enlightening me. I really do want to see this movie. I really want to see this movie do well. I mean, I'm rooting for Summit. They did so well with Twilight and The Hunger Games, box office-wise. So I really hope this is the next big hit.
I think it could be. I mean, I think at first I was a little worried about Shailene Woodley because she was in so much, but she's really grown on me the last few weeks that I've really watched some of these trailers and whatnot. And I think if she's a good enough actor, she'll be able to kind of, build this up so that it's not just another YA, adaption.
Yeah. Yeah, Shailene and Kate Winslet. I mean, if they keep pushing that,
Kate Winslet would look amazing in this.
Yeah, a concern that some people have is that the movie's message isn't clear, and the books are a little confusing. And I think they're referring to the factions. They need a simple message to market this film with. And it appears to be what's on the poster, which was also released this week. What makes you different makes you dangerous. I like that a lot. I think that could work for them really well because it's a simple message. It's easy to understand. It's the central theme of the book. So I hope they keep pushing that and marketing it that way.
Yeah, I think where Divergent will fall down, if it does, will be over the marketing, not over the film itself. I think there are really great people working on this film and starring in it, so it has a lot of potential. Mm. And it looked like in this trailer they were really, like you said, like simplifying it. And also, I guess at least in the first two books, like, people can argue with me about this, but in a way the factions are kind of not that important. Like,
right.
It's important to know that the society is split up, but the actual factions themselves, it seems like they have just simplified that a lot down, like a lot more. So in this, they just cut straight to, okay, she's choosing what she's going to do and now she's in Dauntless and this is what's happening, mm-hmm. instead of doing all of that build up that we get in the book. So I think that is a clever idea to kind of streamline the story a bit more. It makes it a bit more manageable to understand if you don't know what you're getting going into it.
Yeah. I agree, and I think the less that they talk about the factions as we build up to the movie, the better. And hopefully, in the movie, they're referenced a couple times, but they don't play a main role. I mean, like, this is something like with Ender's Game when they were promoting Ender's Game, and that did well at the box office. But they spoke about, like, I've never even read the book, so I don't know what they were talking about. But they kept releasing these badges for the different schools, or what? Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah, the battle school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a similar concept to Divergent, really. Like, they're split up into these different teams, I guess. But you're totally right. It doesn't make sense if you don't have the context of having read the book.
Just don't talk about those things. Don't talk about the factions, because they risk confusing people too much and then turning them off from the movie. They'll think, I don't get this. Why should I see this movie? So... just keep plugging away at Triss and Four and being different.
Yeah, and Shovel.
I think you're right,
though.
I think you just need to focus. You know, they need to focus their efforts. And you're right. If you kind of bring it down to that basic level, you can advertise it much better.
Yeah. Hunger Games is simple.
Yeah.
There's a rebellion.
Live or die.
And, you know, there are multiple districts, but they don't really... They did market them at the beginning.
You don't even think about
them,
really.
But, right, yeah. You don't even need to think about them. They're there, but... it's not something you need to memorize. I feel like with the factions, it's details that you need to memorize in the book.
It's like it's there for the book readers, and then it's not there because you don't care if you're not a book reader.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what they did that was clever with the Hunger Games is they did release those badges where you could like sign up online for your district, mm-hmm. and that was like an extra thing that book fans could enjoy, but it wasn't their big marketing push.
Yeah.
So they could definitely do something similar for Divergent and, you know, have the faction badges and, you know, whatever, maybe have some posters or something, but focus centrally on Triss and on Four. And if they do that, I think they'll be fine. And then the book readers will also feel like, you know, they're getting the kind of insider part as well.
I'm surprised they haven't done that yet. Like the faction test, an official faction test.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Like on the Facebook or something. Yeah. It's kind of an obvious thing.
Yeah. Well, maybe they will once we're closer to the movie.
Maybe they don't understand the factions either.
Well, it's easy to forget how far. I mean, we're still December, January, February, March. Okay. 4 months away. That's a while. By the way, it should come as no surprise, but this trailer is going to be in front of Catching Fire a week from today, which we
I'm so excited.
Talk about more a little bit later. One more trailer to talk about, the Noah trailer. This stars Russell Crowe,
Emma Watson.
Yeah, Emma Watson. Anthony Hopkins, Jennifer Connelly, Logan Lerman, even though tragically he is not in the trailer.
Yeah, I was about to say, everybody kept saying Logan Lerman. I was like, I didn't see him in the trailer.
Bad marketing.
Yeah. I started when I was promoting this article on Facebook, I typed his name and then I was like, wait a second, he wasn't in the trailer, damn it.
I think he was in that second trailer I posted within the same article.
Oh, I see that.
There was another one. Yeah.
All right, let's pause the show. Let me take a look at this right now.
I think he's there for like a split second, if I remember correctly.
It looks cool, but the arc...
it looks interesting, yeah.
The arc is like square. It's not the arc that I imagined.
You think it's going to break away into like a real arc? That's what I was thinking when I watched
it. Like Transformers arc.
It's like Transformers arc. Because I was like, why is it square? Maybe it'll break away as the waves like smash into it and then turn into like the 1 minute.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's one shot where you see the arc in the ocean.
In the ocean, yeah.
Yeah, and it's still square.
Mm-hmm. I was just saying, maybe like it'll smash against a mountain or smash, you know, and then finally like turn into the... I don't know, rough shape of like the arc we would
read about in our children's
definitely
Bibles.
Definitely not a square. I mean, he's a terrible ship designer, I gotta be honest.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what's going on?
Sticks and it's square.
Well, he's been focusing on growing that beard, so.
Yeah, and he had to shave his head somehow.
Jim Carrey could build a better arc. I mean, come on.
It's Steve Carell.
Oh, Steve Carell. Thank you. Yeah. Sorry.
The terrible sequel.
I like that. Anyway,
no, it's funny.
Were you really talking about that now?
Yeah,
I have not seen 300, but this poster at least has invited some comparisons to 300. How do you guys feel about that?
I don't know
I
about that.
Seen
I didn't get that
300.
Vibe.
Oh, okay.
I loved 300 when it came out, but I don't see that vibe. I mean, Darren Aronofsky. isn't going to make a 300 type movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have faith in him. I don't know. Usually he has a lot of control compared to other directors with the final cut. So I'm actually, I have a lot of hope for this movie because even if it looks like a little shaky, he has pretty much final say on all his films. So something that most directors don't have that people might not know.
There's been talk in the blogosphere that the test screenings have not done so well, and they're debating how to handle the third act of the movie. I don't know if you heard about that, Josh.
Go ahead. But,
okay. Yeah, some people are saying they heard about test screenings going not so well. But, well, I mean, we'll see. I mean, I'm not saying that's a bad sign.
But it'll be okay.
Yeah, I mean,
I think
that's
people are... Russell Crowe's kind of like on a tipping point where people like don't like him at all, and then they still like him a little bit. And I think this is kind of like his film where he could either change everybody's opinion, and he can have a, you know, kind of like an Anthony Hopkins career,
yeah,
or if he just won't have a career after, you know, like later on as a as an elder actor.
I just want to say I don't even like him a little bit.
Well, I'm saying like
I'm
he
a
used
terrible
to be
Australian.
Super famous. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, like,
yeah,
now he's had a few kind of crappy movies. And he was in, what was the musical movie?
Les Mis.
And
unfortunately for everyone.
People, yeah, and everybody hated his you know, his voice, right? So, like,
yeah,
everybody has this kind of idea of what he is. And hopefully he changes.
I think this looks much closer to the things he used to do, though, like Gladiator.
Yeah.
When I looked at this, I was like, oh, it's like Gladiator in the ocean. I don't know why. It has a very similar kind of vibe to it, I guess. So he's gone back to what he knows.
Is it weird that Emma Watson calls him Noah instead of Dad? Isn't she supposed to be his daughter?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
Oh,
I thought she was his daughter, but she calls him Noah in the trailer. So
maybe because he's so, like, godlike that out of respect cause them.
Well, you know what I was thinking, because everybody was like, well, then if they repopulated the earth, then the brother would have to sleep with the sister, etc. You know, maybe they are like adoptive brother and sister, that way it could work, you know.
Yeah.
What I'm saying, and not be incest, which is basically what the real story would be.
Yeah, okay, that would make sense.
So that would make sense in the movie world.
So that movie comes out in March, actually. So does Divergent, and Maleficent comes out in May, I believe. Yeah, May 30th. So spring movie trailer week this past week. All three of these trailers, by the way, I believe are going to run with Catching Fire, and let's talk about that right now. I got to see the movie last week in preparation for the junket, where I got to interview Jeffrey Wright, who plays BT. And you can look forward to that interview on Hypeable later, in a few days from now. One of the things I asked him was there were reports that Gary Ross left the Hunger Games franchise because the production schedule was too rushed. So I had asked him, did it feel rushed to you? And how did things move on set? So you'll get his answer to that and many more things later this week. But anyway, the movie was really, really good. And I was relieved to see that big, bad movie critics agree with me, because it's hard for me, as somebody who is such a big fan of the books anyway, to watch this movie and not let my existing opinions get in the way. So all book lovers will love this movie, I think. And after I saw the movie, I went back and reread the book and did a lot of comparisons. And in my review, which is on Hypeable now, you can see I outlined some very specific comparisons between the book and film, so people can see the steps that they took to make sure I was loyal. And I mean specific quotes. So if you've read the book recently, you will recognize several quotes in the movie. And there were things that were cut out of the book. There were three chapters back to back that were cut out. But after you see the movie, you'll be like, yeah, okay, they're right. This didn't really need to take place, these three chapters. So it was a really good movie. Everybody's going to love it. Critics love it. Existing fans so far seem to love it. And it's tracking at it's predicted to make $175 million in the U.S. alone opening weekend.
Opening weekend, yeah.
Crazy.
Those are some big numbers.
Yeah, I mean, easily one of the biggest movies of the year. I don't know if it will be the biggest movie of the year.
It may be the biggest movie this year.
Well, what is the biggest movie this year? Do you know? Let's hop on Box Office Mojo and find out. Yearly.
Well, Iron Man 3 came out in this year.
That
right?
was the biggest one.
It was the biggest movie.
Did that come out this year?
Yeah,
it feels like forever ago.
Oh, God.
Was it
tried to ignore it.
I think it was May 3rd. Maybe?
Yeah, it was the very first movie of the summer.
Yeah. Because it started their Marvel second phase. So.
Opened May 3rd. $409 million domestic.
Yeah. $1.2 billion worldwide.
Crazy.
So, yeah, maybe might be Hunger Games or Catching Fire won't beat that. But I think it'll be in like the 600 plus range.
I have to think it has a shot at beating Iron Man.
End
World. Well, because look at the reviews. I mean, they're so positive that this film's going to be getting great word of mouth.
Do you think that has the audience, though, that like Iron Man has created just because of like Robert Downey Jr. basically has created a massive audience, even if the movie, I didn't like Iron Man 3.
The Hunger Games just has so much going for it. Everybody loves Jennifer Lawrence.
Everybody has really bloomed like in the last year and a half.
Yeah. Plus the Hunger Games, as we've spoken about before, maybe on Hunger Games Chat, our old podcast, the movie appeals to people of all ages. It's not a Twilight audience. It's a much larger audience.
Yep.
So we'll
see. What's the last one make? Or the first one, rather?
We'll have to look that one up, too. I mean, obviously it was very big. By the way, special effects, much better in this movie. They use some of that Hunger Games money to enhance the special effects, I think.
And
$71 million was the first film.
Oh, it'll easily beat that. No question.
Yeah. So it'll be in probably 800 to 900.
So look forward to that. I know Marima's very excited. Josh, I'm
sure so excited.
Are you guys going to midnight screenings or?
I bought my ticket.
And Josh,
I bought my ticket.
Nice.
Nope. I think I'm gonna just go. You know, probably on Friday.
Okay.
Or does it come out Thursday?
Thursday. Well, there's screenings
Thursday
as early
night.
As 8 p.m. So.
Oh yeah. So maybe I'll go to like an 8 p.m.
Yeah, buy them soon though. They may sell out.
I haven't been going to like midnight screenings lately. I don't know why. Maybe I'm getting old.
Yeah, I have to say I partly bought the tickets like to prove to myself that I could still do it.
I kept going to midnight screenings and I was like, God, I'm so tired. I was like, I can't enjoy this movie. And I was like, this is just, I've got to get over this and just go on Fridays.
I agree. Well, maybe that's why Lionsgate is doing these 8 p.m. screenings. A lot of people have wondered. I mean,
I think so. They realize their audience is getting a little bit older and they're like, we have jobs, we got to do stuff,
exactly.
And we can't stay up till 12 on Thursdays anymore. Stay up till 3 a.m., you know, on Thursdays.
And this will only boost the box office, the weekend box office, even more, which will look
good.
And
I don't
understand
that because really it shouldn't count because when you're comparing it to other, you know, like films from the past, how do you compare box office if you can add another day basically to the box office weekend?
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it's fine to me. I'm just saying when you look back, you can't, like if we just look back at Iron Man and whatnot, like Iron Man didn't have it had probably like 10 p.m. screenings, but like 8 p.m. screenings on Thursday. That's a big, you know, that's a big jump. I think.
Right. I'm going to be going to an 8 p.m. screening. I may have mentioned this on the previous episode. One of the local movie theaters is doing a Capital Bash. It was a $65 ticket, but you see the movie at 8 p.m. and at 6:30, reserve seats, and at 6:30, an hour and a half before the movie starts, they're having a party in the lobby where there's a bar with unlimited beer and wine, plus hors d'oeuvres and stuff.
This is going to be a terrible show.
Yeah, you'll all be unconscious.
Everybody's
in the
trash.
It's a good thing you've already seen it.
I'm not planning on getting destroyed. I'll have like eight.
No, okay.
I'll like three.
I've seen you at an open bar.
Everybody's going to get their $65 worth, I can assure you.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm thinking. I got to get my money's worth.
Everybody just like down shots before the movie starts.
Yeah, exactly. So it should be fun. I'm going with friends, and they're going to have like a costume contest. And I think they're decorating the place to look like the Capitol. So it should be fun.
That'd be cool.
Oh,
that actually
so
sounds
cool.
Worth it.
Yeah, exactly.
$65 is not bad for that type of, you know, ordeal.
Especially for
I didn't
this
do anything fun here.
Aww. Well, especially for like this movie. Like I wouldn't do this for Anchorman. It's the one big movie of the year. It's like the new Harry Potter, so you want to make a whole night of it. Okay.
Yeah, I do wish they had this back when Harry Potter was coming out. Like
what?
These
unlimited
just more
beer and
organized,
wine parties.
Yeah. Just like
for the,
more
like,
organized. Just more organized stuff at the theaters. You know what I mean? Instead of just everybody shows up at, you know, midnight for the for the showings, because it sounds like they're getting a lot like that thing you're doing at 8 o'clock or six. What do you say? 6:30 it starts.
6:30, yeah.
So like 6:30, you start. Everybody shows up, and everybody's not about to pass out because it's not 12. And then the movie starts at 8. You know what I mean? So it just feels like it's. I know the midnight screenings are great. I used to love them too, but that sounds a lot more fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, when Fantastic Beasts come around, you'll get another chance at some Harry Potter style. Partying.
Yeah. Yes.
They're going to be pointing at me like, are you 50?
There's been some Hunger Games news coming out, of course, while we approach the release of Catching Fire. I thought this was a big story. Suzanne Collins personally requested that Buttercup be recast for Catching Fire. Now, the reason I thought this was newsworthy was because in the original movie, the cat's black and white, which is not loyal to the book. So the new cat, the new catress, as I call him or her, matches the description in the book. Buttercup,
it also looks like Hermione's cat.
It does. It may be.
Doesn't it?
Maybe it is.
Yeah, it does, actually.
That picture is probably Hermione's cat.
Yeah, that's not an official picture from the movie, but it's close to what she looks like.
It's like the flat-faced
like
cats, right?
Lion. <It does. laughs>
But I just thought it was a fun little story to write.
I think
up.
it's more visual. It's like, but maybe it's because in the first one, you know, like everything was so dark.
Yeah,
and
that's what,
so they wanted like a dark. Oh, people say this. Okay,
yeah, yeah.
I don't want to say it.
Well, no, you're right.
Now it's like more visual. The film's a lot more, you know, a lot brighter. They're in the Capitol probably more.
Yeah,
and so you see like, you know, the cat's brighter. I don't know. It seems like
that completely makes sense. It really does.
But obviously the writer. You're the author wanted
Her and the producer had apparently heard some feedback from viewers who were surprised, and I'm you know, obviously one of the easiest changes they can make, so
yeah, I'm sure the cat's in it like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Do you think Gary Ross quit because they asked him to change the color of the cat?
Oh damn, he's black and white.
That was the real reason.
Maybe it was Gary Ross's cat, and he wanted to start a career.
It was written. It was written into his contract that his cat had to appear in the film.
In other bizarre Hunger Games news, EOnline, who I hate, doesn't really like. Oh no, what am I saying? EOnline asked Jennifer Lawrence and Josh Hutcherson, would they like to see a fifth Hunger Games movie? And bizarrely, Jennifer Lawrence said, I kind of hope so. It would be so fun. This is the best group, and we have so much fun. I love doing these movies. I get really sad when I think that we're almost done. And Josh Hutcherson said, that would be kind of cool, wouldn't it? But, you know, I guess in support of the movie, they have to say something like that, so they sound really into it, which I'm sure they are. But if they just step back for a second and realize that the source material ends very firmly at the end of Mockingjay, there's no way there could be a fifth movie.
I think this is just generic responses. They're just trying to please like whoever's asking the question.
Yeah, I guess. It was a bit surprising. We lost Marima.
You would think...
Go ahead.
You would think that Jennifer Lawrence would be the one to say no. You know what I mean? I feel like she's the one that would be like, no, we can't, you know, we wouldn't do that because it's just not right for the fans.
Yeah, yeah.
She feels like the kind of actress that would say that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Doesn't care what, like, her handlers tell her. You know, she's like, eh.
Right.
You know, we don't do it because there's not another book.
Well, maybe if they get asked that answer again, they'll think about the answer again and give a more suitable answer. Because I'm not happy. But then the rap reached out to Suzanne Collins' rep to see if there's any chance of a fifth book. And the rep was like, yeah, no, it's done.
Yeah.
So
Apparently you didn't read the book.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so we're going to talk about the Hunger Games theme park now, but first, Kyle is now joining us. Hello, Kyle.
Heyo.
Welcome to the party. Happy Friday.
Excited.
So, Hunger Games theme park. This news came out, interestingly, during a Lionsgate conference call, sort of out of the blue, actually. It wasn't even prompted. Somebody on the call, one of Lionsgate's investors, I think, asked the CEO if there would be what merchandising has been strong for the Hunger Games franchise so far. And sort of out of the blue, he added at the CEO at the end of his answer added that they have offers about they've been approached to create Hunger Games theme parks in quote two territories, and they are considering those possibilities. So it's interesting that they would actually admit or reveal so early that this is actually on the table right now. But fans were naturally very against this idea because the Hunger Games just really does not lend itself to the idea of a theme park.
I don't know, man. Nothing says adventure like a theme park where you kill all their guests.
I mean, that would kind of be cool.
It's the best idea ever. Yeah.
This is the worst idea I have ever heard.
Why, Marima? Tell us.
Because Lionsgate, like, I feel like they do such a good job with their marketing, and then they say stuff like this, and it just makes me wonder, like, have any of these people read the books? Like, yeah. Do they understand what the Hunger Games are, uh-huh. what they're talking about?
Well, to play devil's advocate, let me try to come up with a way that this would work. They could do something.
No.
They have a theme. No, they have a theme park split in two. One half is the Capitol, so that's obviously upbeat and very fancy, and you could see President Snow's house or something. And I don't know what kind of ride would be there, but then the other half would be District 12. Again, I don't know what ride you could have there other than like Gale's mine
starving
roller coaster or
excursion.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you say stopping? That's a ride.
Excursion. but yeah, you guys are right. It doesn't really. A theme park is a place you escape to for happiness, not misery.
It just doesn't really lend itself to, you know, I think like a Capital One could kind of work, but then at the same time, it's just not really in line with the whole message of the books, but don't worry about that. Let's make some money.
You can tell the fans aren't into it either, so it's like if they're already having like doubts with this, I feel like it's a bad idea if the fans aren't into it, because it hasn't been around long enough to Potter was like a part of our world, you know, so it was easier to integrate into like a theme park. But now Hunger Games, I just don't think it's hit that peak yet.
Yeah, and if the fans aren't going to go, then, like, no one's going to go.
Yeah, because they'd be the ones who'd be, you know, pulling their friends to go and stuff, so.
But what if it's like,
let's just be grateful we never got a Twilight theme park.
Andrew just wants,
my goodness.
A
people
world
would go
for
and
everything.
Just, yeah, people would just go and, like, stare broodingly at each other. That would be the entire experience.
Wear, like, ridiculous
watch each
clothes.
Other sleep. What else happened in those movies? Can't remember.
Well, what if it was like, I can't remember, what's the outcome for District 13 in Mockingjay?
What do you mean?
Does it stand still? Like,
yeah, it's just the top bit is all, like, bombed.
Okay, right.
Yeah, it's all underground.
Right. I mean, what if it's, like, themed around District 13? Because that's something positive, in a way.
What happens in District 13? The only thing that happens is you would get some like boring clothes and a ration card, and then like enjoy your time at the theme park.
You can pretend to be Gil and aim for Prim with bombs.
Oh god!
See, that could be fun. It's like
there
hunt.
Would have to be some like archery kind of some shooting
archery.
Thing or whatever. Yeah, yeah, but.
That's not a thrill ride, though. We need a thrill
That's not
ride.
Dangerous.
Idea.
Yeah, we'll be the roller coaster in the mines, and then the Capitol will be all the restaurants and stuff, and you know.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it. Yeah,
it's still stupid, but
yeah,
like
it's still stupid.
I have no doubt that it could actually exist, but I still think it's ridiculous.
I think it's rich enough to exist. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think the story is rich enough to exist in the theme park. I just don't know that they'd have enough success. Maybe.
I think the problem with even doing a capital area is that you don't really want to be in the capital. Like, yeah, with Wizarding
like
World,
douchebags.
Yeah, with Wizarding World, you want to be at Hogwarts. You want to go inside Hogwarts. You want to go inside all these restaurants. But in the capital, you don't really want to go to any of these places because they're all negative in Katniss's view. So, yeah, this really can't work. I wonder if it's Disney or Universal. It's got to be one of those two. Otherwise, Lionsgate could not possibly be considering this. And if
you think that they're pitching it to, like, Lionsgate?
Yeah. Because, I mean, obviously, it's their big business, so.
Yeah. I wouldn't imagine Disney proposing something like this because they're just so family-friendly.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Because that would be really hysterical if, like, the Disney family theme park is like, oh, hey, go to the Hunger Games. Try to kill someone.
That's true.
Try to shoot somebody with the chest with a spear.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's complicated.
It's tough.
I mean, then I think
it's
about,
stupid.
Like... but then I think about, like, a Marvel park, which seems... It was rumored to be in the works from Disney, and, like... Well, could that can't be really centered around one land, can it? Because they're all so spread out. And...
Yeah, you'd have to pick.
It doesn't matter. You just need a different roller coaster and name it after each, like, superhero. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, that would totally work out.
Yeah, that can work for, like, Iron Man.
Done.
You could do a cool, like, relay down kind of ride.
Yeah. Well, there is an Iron Man ride coming to Hong Kong Disneyland.
There?
Yeah, in 2016.
Cool.
They just announced it last month, actually. But it's called...
Wait, get the date, Josh.
I posted it, don't worry. It's called the Iron Man Experience.
Huh. Yeah.
Oh, sounds
I think I saw
awesome.
Like some production art or something for that.
Probably.
Time.
I just posted a link to the Disney blog in the doc. You can check it out.
Yeah, I think I've seen that.
Oh, Hong Kong, basically in my backyard.
There you go.
I'll go check it out and report back.
Thank you. Comes in 2016. See you then.
Perfect. I'll start going now. I'll walk.
Hop in a boat.
Yeah, I've seen these before. Nope.
Okay. So let's talk about Hobbit. The Desolation of Smaug is quickly approaching. Comes out December, 14th, I think it is? 13th? But before that, we were treated to The Hobbit, An Unexpected Journey Extended Edition. Josh got to review it, and you said you told me it's right up there with all the Lord of the Rings special features, extended edition.
It's pretty close.
Yeah?
There's 9 hours of behind-the-scenes footage. There's only 13 minutes of additional scenes, which a lot of people were kind of bummed about, because I guess the final edition of the Lord of the Rings set had 30 minutes for the first film, 30 extra minutes of footage for the first film, then like 40 minutes for the second film, and then 50 minutes of extra footage for the third film, which is crazy. I don't even remember that set. But the best thing about the extended editions, and if anybody's bought the Lord of the Rings set, they know it's the behind-the-scenes footage with Peter Jackson. I mean, he just does the best of the best behind-the-scenes footage, and his editing team is probably better than anyone I've ever seen. So
this behind-the-scenes footage is stuff that was not posted online before The Hobbit?
Yes.
Brand new.
I would say almost none of it we've seen online.
Wow.
Is it all the like production stuff like they had on Lord of the Rings, like how they made the sets and the costumes and all that stuff?
All the set
oh,
stuff.
Man. I'm going to have to buy this now. I didn't even like that
It's
movie.
Actually not that expensive. Just let's see what the Blu-ray was.
Oh, I mean, you can buy them for like $15 on eBay now.
Yeah, they're not that expensive, oddly enough. Like the basic Blu-ray set with the Blu-ray, the DVD, and then a special features disc. Or I think there's two special features discs. Is only like $24 or something.
Do you think that, like, don't they normally hold out on all the extra stuff until like the full box set comes out? So like when all three movies are done, aren't they going to probably release more stuff and like footage? Or is it
no? They didn't with Lord of the Rings.
They didn't with Lord of the Rings. They did add some additional scenes, which I wasn't aware of. A lot of people say there was 50 more minutes of extended footage in the Return of the King, which I've never heard of, and I've watched the films 1,000 times probably. So they probably do exist. I just didn't see it. But I would think if you're interested in the behind the scenes footage, this set is worth the $24, because it's 9 hours of footage. I mean, that's more than any other movie is going to get you.
I mean, I'm not
by far.
How much extra footage did you say there is?
9 hours.
No. Deleted scenes.
Oh,
sorry.
13 minutes. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Like I wanted to say, I'm not surprised that it's short compared to Lord of the Rings when you consider that this was originally going to be a 2-part series and then they added an entire other film. You have to think at this point though, Peter Jackson and they just shoot extra stuff just so they can put it into an extended edition.
Yeah, like, well, it's like after he won the Oscar for one of the films, he just like he went back after they had won the Oscar and then he added more scenes in and released another DVD. Oh. He was like, this is the best way to do it, you know, win the Oscar and then put more scenes in.
That's funny.
But definitely pick it up if you're if you like the Lord of the Rings sets, you'll love this one.
Cool. So for Desolation of Smaug, Ed Sheeran recorded a new song, which I see is actually no longer available in this post. Thanks, SoundCloud. But it's called I See Fire, and it's going to run during the end credits. This song is awesome. Did you guys hear it?
No. Yes. For a second, it sounded like you said icy fire, like cold fire. I was very confused, but the song's great. Yeah. I actually don't like Ed Sheeran, but I like this song.
Yeah, I don't either. So, yeah, it surprised me, too. I think you can listen to it right now on Spotify, and you can buy it on iTunes. It's part of the Desolation of Smaug soundtrack. But yeah, really good song. He recorded it himself with all the instruments, save for like the violin, I think. Oh, no, he learned to play the violin just for this occasion. He performed every instrument on it except for the cello.
That's so ridiculous.
That's dedication.
Wow. Dang.
So I definitely recommend listening to that song. Important movie news now. 50 Shades of Grey has been moved to Valentine's Day 2015. So I don't have plans for this year's Valentine's Day, but I already know what I'm doing next year, 2015.
You know, the first look at Christian and Anastasia on that post, Christian does not look so pretty without the scruff. I think a lot of people prefer
a lot of people
him
said
to
that.
The scruff.
Yeah.
Yes, this is, well, hopefully they'll learn from this and they'll let him grow it out a little bit for the actual movie.
I got to be honest, as one of the straight males on High People, she's not that pretty. And is she supposed to be that pretty in the book?
I don't know. I mean,
she's
pretty.
She's attractive.
Yeah. She's attractive, but she's not like...
Okay,
ooh.
So she's
not
about
up to
right.
Josh's standards.
No, I'm just saying, like, if I was expecting from a book, you know, it'd be like someone, you know, really beautiful, but she's not like knockout gorgeous, you know.
I thought she was really pretty, but I'm
I
don't know.
She's pretty for sure. I just didn't feel like... I didn't know. I'd never read the book, obviously, so I just didn't know where she was at.
I thought she was supposed to be younger, and so when I saw this picture, I was surprised that she looks like an older woman. I don't mean
that
negatively.
Yeah, she looks like she's trying hard. Like, she's trying to be, like, innocent, but she's old. Like, older, like you said. She's, like, 30-some.
This girl is actually 24.
Holy shit.
Yeah. I wouldn't have guessed that. I would have guessed
terrible.
That.
Wait, how old do you think she is?
I thought she was, like, 30, 31.
Are you joking? Are you looking at the Entertainment Weekly cover?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought
are
she...
Are you blind?
No, I actually agree with Josh.
I thought she was older.
Yeah. I don't... Guys, she does not look that old.
28,
she no, she looks like mid-20s. She's also been like photoshopped to an inch of her life. So.
I'm with Marma. I think she looks like she's like 25.
And I have no idea what they are meant to look like. I mainly just use this book as a, you know, punchline. But, I mean, they look like attractive people.
I'm not calling them ugly by any stretch of the imagination. I also just looked it up.
Good for the film, I guess.
Anastasia in the book is 24, so they do have the age right. She just looks older. I don't, maybe it's the angle.
It's like the bangs or something.
Yeah,
they make you look older.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, or maybe it's him.
He looks, I mean, he's kind of unique looking. He doesn't look like, you know, someone we've seen before.
That sounds like something that you'd say to someone who isn't attractive. You're unique.
No, I mean, I don't know if he's. I assume he's attractive. I'm just saying he doesn't look like most of, like Liam Neeson or not Liam Neeson.
Liam Hemsworth.
Liam Hemsworth. Sorry.
Someone photoshopped that cover.
And actually, what really bugs me about this is in both of the photos in our article, there's like five photos, but the top image that I use. And in Jamie's got the thumb on his mouth, and then you look at the cover, and it's Dakota with the thumb on the mouth, like that like sexual tension look. It's like,
yeah,
come on,
that's funny.
I hate that pose so much.
And I look at she reminds me of Kristen Stewart with that fingers on her mouth, with the fingers on the mouth.
A little bit. Isn't it fan fiction of Twilight?
It is. Like... It is. It's
well
subtle
irony.
Subtle connection.
And he kind of looks like Edward.
Yeah,
he kind of has like that
with the mouth hanging
really
open,
pale and mouth hanging open. Yeah.
This is why. Does he look like he hates his job?
Yes. They both look like they're hating this. They're like, I just got to do this, and then I'll get another movie role.
Well, this movie's going to be interesting. That's all I could say.
It could be big. I mean, there's so many. When it was big, it was like I've never seen. You know what I mean? Compared to like even like Potter Madness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get crucified. It's not close to Potter. Don't
well, didn't
wrong.
It outsell Harry Potter?
Yeah, the was it the online sales?
Oh,
yeah.
That's right. But that
was the online sales.
That number swayed because less people were doing ebooks back then.
Yeah,
because
there wasn't there. I don't think there were ebooks back then before
barely
third book.
I think it is a good idea to move it to Valentine's Day though. August.
When else is anyone going to see it?
Porn's good for any day of the week.
Any time of year.
So you're buying your tickets, Josh, already?
Yep. I already have
Is
mine.
Is this your next midnight premiere? Will that be 50 Shades of Grey?
The only midnight premiere I'm planning on seeing.
I will go to a midnight premiere. I don't
that
care.
Would be a
I'm
weird
going.
Midnight premiere.
Oh. I'm not even going to see this. Are you serious?
Yes.
I have zero interest in this film.
But that's
it's
not the point.
Like 40-year-old moms and then like a bunch of weird people.
Exactly. That's why we need to go and see how all the women react. It'll be amazing.
No, I'm interested. Like,
me too.
In what they'll say.
It's going to be like 1 year I went to an anime convention and it was a 24-hour convention. And at 3 a.m. they had a yaoi showing. And for those of you who don't know, yaoi's like male hentai porn, but it was like a video. And I was like, what the hell is going on? And I walk into the room and it's filled with women. And any time one of the male characters touched or talked to another male character, all of the women would be like, oh my God.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what this movie's going to be like.
It's going to be like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to defend women, but I really don't disagree.
It's not women in general. It's just that audience.
Yeah, it's 40-something women who were writing like Harry Potter / fan fiction. Now they've like
got 50
shades of gray.
A lot of women in my family that I'm very surprised, were into this book.
In your family, you said?
Yeah, just like women in my family that I've... wouldn't expect to read this book, and they talked about it a lot. Okay. But everybody was kind of reading it whenever it blew up.
Oh yeah, I saw my sister reading it. She got an iPad Mini last Christmas, and she got one of the first book she read on it was 50 Shades. And like, I'm sitting there watching her reading. I'm like, oh my
God, like,
I don't want to know what's going on in her
like,
brain.
What is happening?
Yeah,
to this?
I don't think it was as big here.
It was.
Oh,
so
you just wait.
Bigger. Yeah, it was.
Really... Oh yeah, it's still coming. We're still
it's
waiting.
It's coming.
It's on a wave coming to your island.
That was a terrible joke.
Well, this isn't as big as the 50 Shades delay, but Star Wars Episode 7 is moving. That was sarcasm. Is moving to December 18th, 2015.
And I think they'll move it like 4 more times.
Yeah, I think
they've moved it almost like 5 or 6 times.
Well, this is the first time we're getting an official release date.
Yeah.
There was a report that Kathleen Kennedy, the producer, longtime Star Wars producer, asked Disney to move it to 2016, and they said, yeah, no.
Nope.
No. Has to be 2015. So this will be the first time a Star Wars movie is not released in the summertime, which is interesting. I don't know. It's. I guess it doesn't really matter. It's going to be a huge success.
I think it's a totally new, deal. I think that they're trying to start their own thing, and I almost wish they'd even not use the episode, whatever, 7 or whatever.
Right, called something new.
Yeah, I just wish they'd kind of do like the Avengers is doing with Age of Ultron. I think that would be different to kind of just forget the past and just start your own deal.
Yeah. Do you think that you'd have to have seen all the previous Star Wars in order to see this next one?
Yeah.
Not have you all. Not watched Star Wars?
No.
I haven't either.
I mean,
oh.
We, yeah.
I will.
Andrew, what like... films have you watched?
I know. It's pretty sad.
Hunger Games.
And soon to be 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
I will watch them. I really should.
No, I don't think these films, they'll have, you know, links to the old films, but I don't think they'll have anything to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, no, that's good. That means you that I can audition that. For it without sounding like an ass.
I'm glad you bring that up. So Star Wars auditions are happening online. You can submit online auditions. This is just dumb to me. Why do they need to be going to America, the world, for, like, are they trying to find a huge new unknown actor? Is that the purpose? And if they're still only casting people right now, what does that say about start of production, which is supposed to be early next year?
Not
publicity.
Good.
Obviously.
Are they filming in London?
Publicity, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, they are filming in London.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it is publicity. It just seems so weird, though. It's not so, why does it have to be this public? And just keep it a secret.
Maybe just filling a lot of roles, you know, that you don't really notice.
It's dumb.
Do you feel like these two roles are ruining the film for you?
No, but it's like, why is this a global party? Why do we have to make everybody a part of the Star Wars production process? Just
because it's been, like, however many years since the last film, and they're trying to, like, invigorate the younger audience and
get Kyle to watch the old ones.
Yeah, people like Kyle who haven't seen any of the other films but go like, oh, I'd quite like to be in a film, that would be quite nice. I'm gonna upload my thing to YouTube and look, it's working.
It's corny. I mean, American Idol does this. They do online auditions for crying out loud.
Oh yeah, I don't think it's a great idea, but like I'm assuming that's really the only reason that they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
They're certainly not doing it because they don't have enough people that want to be in Star Wars. Like they could easily fill these roles.
That is a weird thing because it's like obviously enough people want to be in the new, you know, trilogy or whatever they're doing. Seems odd. And you would think that they'd have all the principal casting done.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But, I'm sure these are people that are in like very minimal scenes.
But then don't you get the people from, like, when you go to London, don't you get all those people then? I just feel like you don't bring people from America to film in London for background scenes.
Is it only for America? I didn't read it properly. Is it only for U.S. residents?
No.
No, it's everyone.
Like, anyone can do it.
I think so.
I guess I was just being saying.
You're
America.
Just assuming that no one from
I think
Australia
America's the only
slash
place
international.
On Earth. It's the greatest country in the world.
Okay. Having been there for 3.5 weeks, I must concur.
Yeah. No.
Well,
I was being short-sighted.
Yeah. Let's move on. One last movie story today about The Book Thief. Mirabai, have you seen it yet?
No, it doesn't come out here till January. Stop talking about it. It makes me so sad.
Sorry.
Yeah, I made Louis sent me like a very detailed description of it after he saw it.
Oh, good.
Because he felt bad.
Well,
yeah.
Hopefully you wanted that.
Oh yeah, I told
it.
Him to.
Oh, okay.
I asked him to pirate it for me, but he wouldn't. So that was the best I could do. Such a bad person.
So tell us about your interview with the author about the movie.
Yeah, so I interviewed Marcus Zusak, who's doing a bit of a movie tour, I guess. It was really interesting because he was talking about how he tried to stay quite hands off during the process, which is like most authors try and be like, oh, I was so involved and oh yeah, they let me do like casting decisions and script and everything. But he actually said like he made it a point not to try and influence the filmmakers too much because he sees them as being like very separate products. And but considering I'm none of you have read it, I'm assuming, but like considering the way that the book is written, you would actually expect he would be more involved because of like the way that it's structured and everything. So it was really interesting that he was like, no, I like trusted them to do it. And, you know, the casting was great. And I read the script through once and I gave them some notes, but otherwise that was it. So I guess that shows a lot of faith in the filmmakers.
Yeah. Oh, it looks really good. I definitely want to see it. I haven't read the book, but
surprise, surprise.
Had Louis read the book?
Yeah, Louis had read the book.
Okay.
He gave it a B.
B plus, maybe?
something, did he? B plus or something? Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. He said cool. He said it was better than the book, which I said could not be true. Oh. So that was fun.
I don't know. He's been doing some really good reviews lately, so
he's good. Yep. Shout out Louie.
Louie Schuth, I think is that how you say his last name?
Yeah.
Let's go with that.
Schuth.
Yep.
It was a good review, yeah.
Yep. It opens wide next week, November 22nd. Oh, no, sorry. This week. Yeah.
Yeah, but they're rolling it out really slowly.
Okay.
So,
I see.
I think, yeah, in America, it's still not in a lot of cinemas for the next couple of weeks. And then it's not out here until next year.
So
I know.
It started opening here last week. I know it opened in LA last week. And then this week, more theaters. Right, and then next week, November 22nd, even more theaters. So, alternative to the Hunger Games, if you don't want to be with those crowds, you can hop into The Book Thief. Let's talk TV now. We've talked about movies for the past hour. Let's get into TV. Doctor Who. Very exciting time to be a Doctor Who fan. We're approaching the release of the 50th anniversary special. But before that, we were treated to a prequel.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
I don't
know. It's great.
Now, I don't know if you want to spoil it, because I had posted it before our Doctor Who writers.
And then people yelled at you.
Yeah, I didn't realize that it was a big secret who the Doctor was in the prequel. I didn't know. So
I don't think it's a big secret.
It's not that big of a...
He's not new. He was there before. Like,
yeah. Exactly.
Marima, don't reveal it was a he. How dare you?
Yeah, because all the doctors haven't been Caucasian males. Oh, wait. Yes, they have.
Snap. No, was it good?
It's not that big of a secret. I mean, like...
It was really good.
It doesn't even spoil what happened. Even if you mention who's in it, you don't know what's going to happen in it.
Well, let's not spoil it anyway, but just how was it? I mean, in terms of a...
It was great. It gave us some actually, like, really good insight into the doctor's life and... the doctor that John Hurt is going to be playing. So that was really interesting.
Okay.
Yeah. It was actually really, really intriguing. So
it was fantastic.
Yeah. Cool. It's probably one of the best prequels I think they've ever had for like an
episode. Yeah, they keep getting better. I will be curious to see how much of this is kind of included in the episode, because this almost feels like it needed to be part of the episode.
Yeah.
So you know what I mean? It's like quite integral to what happens in the plot. So I'm sure they might show like flashes of it or something during the actual episode itself. But I would definitely recommend people watch it. It doesn't have huge spoilers or anything. It's just kind of like an introduction.
Yeah. And even if you haven't seen Classic Who, you'll still get it. It makes perfect sense.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely. It's getting me like so excited. This was really cool. Yeah.
It's going to be great.
And then a trailer for the actual 50th anniversary special aired last week. Equally awesome, right?
Oh, heck yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Oh, God. Yes.
We're just going to have a little, like, nerd fest right now.
I mean, I don't even watch Doctor Who, but it's cool to see David Tennant and Matt Smith together.
As,
you know, it's so cool that David Tennant came back to do this.
I'm excited for all of the... lies that Stephen Moffat told and said so-and-so wasn't going to be in this, and I'm hoping that everyone he lied about was actually going to be in it.
Oh, see, I hate that aspect of Stephen Moffat just in general, but...
I'm excited for Jack to come back. I hope he comes back.
Yeah, I would be surprised if they'd kept it under wraps this whole time, though. But it would be really...
Well, they said
there
that...
were so many... Yeah.
They said that the person who was in the trailer, I almost said his name, wasn't going to be in the series at all. And then he ended up being in it. So
yeah, but they get around it by being like, he's not in the episode, but he's in the prequel. Ha ha ha. No, I thought the trailer itself was really, really good. And I keep seeing it on TV now and I get so excited every time, because there were some like the bit with Rose, the bad wolf bit and stuff. Mm-hmm. Which is, like, not a spoiler. If you don't watch Doctor Who, you'll have no idea what I'm talking about, so it doesn't matter. it was really, really cool. And I'm so excited to see. I feel like they've known this is coming, this event, they've known it's been coming for 50 years. So, like, it better be a damn good episode. Yeah. They've had enough time to plan it out. And from the trailer, it just looks like there's going to be so much stuff going on. Unless they've just cut the only action parts from the from this episode and put them in the trailer, which would be disappointing.
No, I'm sure that's not the case, but it's going to be really awesome. And we're actually having a giveaway, like, month, kind of, because we're working with the BBC, and they gave us some awesome swag. So if you guys ever see, like, a Doctor Who feature on Hypeable, there's going to be a giveaway at the end of that feature every time. And we're giving away a Doctor Who Mr. Potato Head right now, or two of them, a Dalek one and an 11 Doctor nice. One, and a T-shirt. And there's still, like, Doctor Who Monopoly and, like, a nightlight and, like, hats and stuff. It's awesome. Oh, I know, right? I want one of those so bad. I'm hoping that, like, BBC is shipping them to my house, and I'm like, I just want one. I just want to keep one.
Okay, but now you shouldn't have said that on the podcast, because now everyone's going to be checking, like, what did Kyle get sent and what did Kyle now?
Didn't we give away three of the Hobbit Extended Editions, Andrew?
Yes, we did. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. We've had a ton of contests on Hypeable lately.
We're having a few more coming up soon. So.
Oh, yeah. So many.
Check them out.
We gave away Boy Meets World complete box set and Saved by the Bell complete box set. Tons.
Which was awesome.
Yeah, tons of great contests.
Saved by the Bell, man.
But yeah, I want to specifically plug Kyle's Doctor Who Quotes article. He picked the top quote from each of the 11 doctors and made a graphic out of it. They looked really good, Kyle, so good job with them.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody said you should be a professional poster designer.
I was like, no. I mean, that'd be cool, but no.
Top-rated comment. I don't know. So quickly, let's talk about Marvel made a deal with Netflix. They are making 4 original Marvel series for Netflix. The first one, centering on Daredevil, will premiere in 2015. Josh,
not a fan.
Josh is a Marvel guy. What did you feel about this?
Kind of mixed feelings, I guess. The budget probably won't be enough to do what everyone wants to see. We've seen that with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., that the budget really hasn't been big enough on TV to make a really, like, superheroes work. So I'm a little concerned about having a Netflix series, but as we've seen with House of Cards, they can do a great show. I just don't know if they can do a great superhero show. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, and I mean, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. just continues to fall in the ratings, unfortunately.
Yeah. That's why I'm more worried about this, because it's like they're already doing bad. So.
Yeah, and I mean, now that these new TV shows in the works, it's kind of like Agent. I keep on saying Angels. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is like a kind of an afterthought now. Everybody's just sort of looking forward to these new original series. I have to say, though, Netflix has struck gold with their original series. Orange is the New Black and House of Cards in particular have been their two most popular. And everybody's looking forward to the second season. So if there's some sort of Netflix magic that they can make work for these new series, then maybe...
I'm all for it, yeah. If it's any of the quality of House of Cards, you'll love it. You know what I mean? So yeah. I just don't know how you can make superhero stuff work with the lower budget. Like, House of Cards works because there's no CGI, which is really where a lot of your budget
goes.
Orange
is the New Black.
Yeah, it's like you just have great actors and you have great sets. You don't need any CGI. Yeah, the stories are great. Mm-hmm. And you don't need that CGI budget. And once you need that, I think it's going to be like you're going to see the huge difference swing from movies to, you know, television or Netflix series.
And last piece of TV news today, just really briefly, Sherlock Series 3, we got the first still from the first episode, which was exciting, but we still don't know when it's going to premiere in the UK.
Which is ridiculous.
I know. Always seem to do this, though, the BBC, they take their time, and ITV, they take their time announcing when Sherlock and Downton Abbey are going to premiere, then they throw it on us, and it's like a week from when they announce it. But in the meantime, PBS is premiering Sherlock January 16th. So
hey, at least Watson doesn't have a mustache.
And in the so in the photo we see Watson sitting in a cafe and Sherlock's looking in on him. This may be after, I guess it must be after Sherlock told him that he's actually alive. I mean, Watson's been dealing with this for a few months. That's where series 3 will pick up. So or maybe this is the first moment where Watson sees that Sherlock's actually alive.
No one's peripheral vision is that bad. He can definitely see him in that photo.
I don't know. He looks really deep in thought.
At his cup of tea.
What if he smashes through the window and starts making out with Watson?
That would be cool. My goodness.
I've missed you.
The world would explode.
It would explode.
At least Tumblr.
Tumblr would.
Little Harry Potter news. Pottermore is now mobile. You can now use it on your tablet or your smartphone.
That means I can be disappointed on the go, too. Yay.
Yep. Even on my small screens.
And I played with it yesterday on an iPad. It works pretty well, actually. It's really responsive, and it works just like the website. It was really important that they do this, because everybody uses mobile devices these days. Now,
but no one uses Pottermore.
Sadly.
Yeah. I do think it's good to be positive.
iPads and kids.
Oh,
and
well,
stuff,
you can be positive. You can be positive because I'm here. I take the fall.
Well, and also, Josh, I mean, it's just the tablet market is just growing so much, and they have to show how to grow, and this would be one way to show how they grow. So,
also tested.
What's the artwork like?
The art looks just like it does on the website on a computer.
Huh? It's not
That's
like
the
a
only thing
version.
They like about Pottermore. Yeah.
Josh?
It looks just like the site.
Yeah.
I was just saying it doesn't look like a crappier version of the site or anything.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a full-blown site.
And no, I was saying you had just tested it on iOS, I was saying that Android, it works great on too.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Pottermore announced yesterday that they said specifically tablets, but I decided to try it on my phone, and it does work on the phone. It's just you don't really want to use it because the screen is so small. And the Pottermore, you need a big screen with an iPad or a...
Yeah, and even my screen's 4.7 inches, so it's a little bigger than the iPhone 5S, so it's a little bit better, but like you said, it's kind of pointless to use Pottermore on a phone. Yeah. Tablet, yes. You know, I think tablet
it's
is...
perfect.
They may gain members with the tablet, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even if you, like Pottermore and you go to Pottermore, what are you going to, do on your phone, look at it for 15 minutes and then get to which chapter?
Yeah, I mean,
maybe.
Yeah, exactly. They weren't saying this was for the phone to begin with, so
yeah,
can't fault them for that.
That's true.
One other thing about Harry Potter. J.K. Rowling.
Pottermore.
Oh, Marimo, we lost you for a second. And you
came
coming back in at the last second.
I was just going to pretend it's a snarky remark about Pottermore.
Go ahead.
Yep.
It was.
Oh, let's hear it, Marima. Now I really want to know.
No, I can't. I can't remember.
Okay. Okay.
Sorry, I got distracted by my cat.
So J.K. Rowling briefly spoke about Fantastic Beasts during a video interview earlier this week. Kind of significant because it's the first time we're actually seeing her talk about it on video. And what's even more significant is the way she reacts when the question is introduced. She gets so giddy as soon as the question is posed to her. And it really just told me how excited she is for this project. She also added that she will live forever in the Potter world to some extent. I don't know if that means she's going to keep writing spinoffs or what, but time will tell.
Quidditch through the ages.
Yeah.
Didn't she also donate $20 million to the Eastern European Children Fund or something
earlier this
week.
Yeah, she...
It's pretty crazy. I mean, there's a lot of people that donate money, but she's the real deal, I think.
Yeah. Well, there's that story. She lost her billionaire status because
she donated so much
money to a charity.
No, and I think that there's probably a handful of people that would only do that, and she's one of them.
Let's wrap the show today with our recommendations. Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay, go ahead.
Since Noah is coming out by director Darren Aronofsky, there's a film he made in 2006 called The Fountain, which I don't think was a wide release. And by the sound I'm hearing, not the sound I'm hearing, it sounds like you guys haven't seen it. But it's a very good movie, and I think it's got Hugh Jackman and who's the other actress? Oh yeah, Rachel Weisz or Raquel Weisz. I don't know how you say it. It's really weird movie, but the visuals are really incredible, and I think with Noah we'll see some of those visuals come out in a more streamlined story.
Okay.
So check it out. It's called The Fountain.
Interesting. Who's next?
I will go ahead and suggest a Lifetime show, which is beyond me because I hate Lifetime for so many reasons. It's so bad. But this Lifetime show is actually really, really good. Like, the last episode aired on Sunday, and I was like, what? It's called Witches of East End. And maybe it's just because I like witchy stuff, but it has to do with this family of, like, three witches, like, two daughters and a woman, and their entire family is cursed. And they're cursed to keep surviving. Like, the two daughters always die. And then they get reborn, and then they die. And then the mother's immortal, and then the mother's sister's a cat that's immortal that can turn into a human. So
Hocus Pocus.
I know it's weird blend of like Hocus Pocus and Charmed and
and Professor McGonagall.
Yeah, and it has basically gorgeous men in it. So if you like men, then this is definitely a show for you. It's great.
Well, speaking of witches, I will recommend American Horror Story Coven. I have not watched American Horror Story at all.
I was just going to ask, can I watch it without having watched
it? Yeah, that's the thing, and that's why I recommend it. Each season is a new series. It's a completely different storyline with different characters, even though Jessica Lange appears in every season. You just start watching this season, Coven. And I think we're only 7 or 8 episodes in now, but it's really good. The witch's plotline is really interesting. Most people I talk to who have seen all of American Horror Story say that season one is the best. Season two, not that great, but season three makes the show on a whole great again. So definitely check it out and just start from the current season. And then if you like it, you can go back to season one and then skip season two, I guess, since nobody seems to like it. And finally, Marima, what can you recommend for listeners this week?
Well, in a very surprising turn of events, I'll recommend a book. I'm going to recommend a book called Man-Made Boy by John Scovron. It's out internationally, and it is about the son of Frankenstein's monster. It is it's a young adult book, but it's really, really cool because it has this crazy mix of genres. It has like cyberpunk and steampunk, sci-fi, fantasy, mythology, coming of age, road trip, everything, romance. So, you know, by all rights, it really shouldn't work because it's so complicated, but it works really, really well and it's really funny. So, yeah, definitely check that out. And then you can all read my review on Hyperbole and tell me how much you agree with me, which I always enjoy.
Well, it's refreshing to get a brand new book review from you always.
Yep.
You're welcome. And read The Book Thief.
Well, speaking of that, I just want to mention briefly, as we talked about on today's episode, Catching Fire, as we look ahead to see what's coming up over the next couple of weeks, Catching Fire comes out November 22nd. The Book Thief continues to open wide, and that's it, really. I mean,
and the Doctor Who
oh, yes.
50th anniversary.
November 23rd. So soon. Yep. So it's a Saturday?
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be great.
Very cool. Wow. So
Catching
soon.
Fire comes out on my birthday, so you can think about me while you're watching.
Happy
Catching
birthday,
Fire.
Josh.
I recommend giving Josh a birthday gift. All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. I'm Andrew Sims.
I'm Tarkow.
I'm Josh Neely.
And I'm Marima White.
Marima, thank you for staying up till 4:30 a.m.
Oh, always a pleasure.
It's much appreciated.
And we'll see everybody next time for episode 18. Goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye, guys.
Bye.